What are you doing?
Just whistling.
Why?
It's the topic for today. I thought it would be a fun way to kind of get into it.
Oh, so it's today's topic for BC is creepy, the podcast you're listening to right now.
That's right.
He's Topher Graham.
And that's Ariel Hansen, and today it's my episode.
Yes, it is a Topher episode, so I get to just sit back, have a drink,
and listen to me rant.
And just be smarmy.
Yeah,
I guess.
Smarmy.
Smarmy, I don't know if that's the right word. Sassy.
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 Give us the proper amount of banter that will make the episode long enough.
Hey, don't give away our trade secrets.
No, I've already done it before.
I know you keep doing it. Maybe they'll forget if you don't keep bringing it up.
But don't you want other people to come out with awesome podcasts that we can listen to? And
I kind of think of those as being separate things.
Yeah.
But I don't think that people are going to learn from us.
If you want to learn podcasting from Topher and Ariel and Bad Cookie Pictures, send us an email at badcookiepictures@gmail.com.
And if you want to learn from people with more authority on the topic, there's probably a bunch of other stuff you could check out.
Yeah. Dark Poutine, for example. My Favorite Murder.
Last podcast on the left.
Made money.
Yeah. People who can get advertisers.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
To be fair, we've never approached anybody.
I don't think we're there yet anyways.
We're not sellouts.
Yeah, we're not sellouts. Now imagine if next week we have an advertiser all of a sudden.
Yeah. Bad Cookie Pictures, BC is Creepy, is brought to you by, I don't know, Sneaky Weasel or something.
I've got ideas, actually, now. Oh dear. I might become a corporate shill.
If beer people sponsor us, I'll talk about the boozing barber again. I'll do it. I don't care.
We'll try and find a haunted brewery in BC.
Yeah.
Even though I think they're all so new that they're probably...
We will kill somebody in a brewery and talk about their ghost.
Oh my god.
For a corporate sponsor of beer.
Don't put that on the podcast. Murder is bad.
All this and more if you even... Ariel?
Huh? What?
So, I want to talk about BC.
Okay.
And how it is unique in terms of just cultural diversity here in Canada. I mean, as Canadians, we pride ourselves on the mosaic of different cultures that have immigrated here to come and build our society.
Most of us, at least.
Yeah, most of us. This is like... when I was in school... They always talked about, like, the great mosaic.
The melting pot.
Yeah, like, you bring people over, we take the best of everything, and, you know, we build a great Canadian society. That's got a lot to do with what we're talking about today. With immigration, you get new foods, new forms of art, new philosophies, new ways of life, and the best part is stories.
Ooh.
And spoopy? Superstitions.
Spoopy stories.
Spoopy story. In my research this week, I came across a superstition that has made its way into the Canadian fabric through a whole bunch of different cultures. And not like ones that you'd think would be connected, but all over the place. And so this one comes with a warning.
Okay.
That you should never whistle at night.
Then what were you doing whistling at the beginning of the episode? Oh my god. Do you want to get haunted?
I mean, no.
Yeah. Didn't think so.
I mean, we already, like, went into the Stanley Park and went to the Babes in the Woods and...
That was the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. Lots of stuff we did. It's not like we'd sage the room anymore. Never whistle at night.
And if you do it again, I will punch you.
Fine. But anyways, let's start, because...
Okay.
The Japanese believe that whistling at night will attract snakes, kidnappers, robbers, or something they call a tengu.
That sounds familiar.
So, tengu are a Shinto god. They have, like, human and bird-like properties, with long beak-like noses, and they're kind of demons of Buddhism that cause war and destruction.
Oh, definitely don't want those hanging around then.
Yeah, I saw a picture, and it was awesome. So if you whistle at night, they'll come and get you. And just fair warning, bad spirits are the common real theme here. Several Asian cultures that I've found also bring on the snakes. So the Han Chinese, the...
Snakes are cute, though.
Yeah, but some of them are poisonous.
Oh, I guess we don't really have poisonous ones around here. So it's just like, oh, an El Garter snake? Yeah, I'd be okay with attracting those.
Yeah. We also don't have the ones that, like, bind around you and crush you.
They have to be really, really big in order for them to do that. I took Tristan and Burns' snake handling course.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what snakes are like in Asia, but I'm assuming, because it's a warning, that they're not great. So yeah. That...
Well, especially if their kids are easier for a snake to eat than adults. So yeah. You want to scare kids.
Yeah. So the Han Chinese, the Siamese of central Thailand, and Koreans all have snakes and bad spirits as a warning against whistling at night.
Okay.
Now, Mexicans also warn against whistling at night that you may summon La Lechuza.
Ooh. So, what's that?
La Lechuza is, well, depending on which telling you hear, it's a massive bird that can range in stature from the size of a small human to 7 feet tall and can have the wingspan of 15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's described as black in color or sometimes white as snow. In most cases, it's kind of like a giant owl. But in other cases, it's a huge raven. So there's all sorts of stories across Mexico about La Lechuza. And Mexico itself is a very diverse region. I know. I've been there. I've done, like, all sides of the country. I can see why, in some say, some places it could be a raven, and in some places it can be an owl. But it's a giant bird.
So that makes at least two places where it's weird bird things.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense just because birds whistle. Well, yeah. The bigger birds caw, and the smaller birds like...
Oh my...
Ow!
I told you I was gonna punch you!
Yeah. So, some accounts say that the La Lechuza's face is that of an old woman, or sometimes otherworldly, large, dark, almond-shaped eyes. Some say La Lechuza is a woman by day, turns into a huge owl at night. Some say that it snatches kids because her own child was killed by angry villagers for a crime that he didn't commit, or that the child was killed by a drunk, and now La Lechuza exacts revenge by hanging around bars. There's like a whole story. Some stories say that the bird is a minion of Satan himself, which I'm gonna come back around to that.
Okay.
Because of other cultures that came up. Apparently, La Lechuza not only takes humans as prey, but kind of preys upon the negative emotions and like an energy vampire.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, so she like takes your bad vibes away?
No. Like
makes more
bad vibes in you to harvest for energy. So, native Hawaiian folklore says that whistling at night may summon the Hukaipo, or the Night Marchers.
What are they?
So, the Night Marchers are spirit warriors armed with weapons that are coming to or from a battle, and they carry torches for light and beat drums along where there were used to be battlefields, and legend says that they're like normal sized but dressed for battle and carrying spears, clubs, and some are beating war drums and blowing tones from coach sails and announce the advancing of their march, and sometimes they're suspended in air and their feet don't touch the ground, and they leave no evidence of it. It sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
But ancient Hawaiian beliefs state that any mortal looking upon them or being seen in defiance against them will die violently. One of their relatives are within the marcher's ranks. But some people say that if you just, like, lie still, like a...
corpse?
Yeah, like a bear, face down on the ground and show proper respect or like, fear, then you'll be spared.
They go, you're not worth it.
Yeah. Also in ancient Hawaiian lore, the laws declared that body parts of a king or chief to be sacred, I think they're talking about genitals, are not to be seen by a mortal. And so the punishment for that, looking at their genitals, is instant death by like bolts of intense light and flaming heat and crazy stuff. Don't look at their dick.
Death by peeping Tom.
Yeah. So don't whistle and look at them, even though they seem really cool.
But mostly don't look at their dick.
No, don't look at their dick.
Basically, it's saying don't catcall men or you'll die.
Yeah, don't do that. In Hawaii, Maori culture also is adamant that if you whistle at night, the kahua will whistle back.
Who are they?
It's just like a Maori word for ghost or spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like a couple in their folklore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the kiko kiko. A friend of mine told me that Maori words are usually like repetitive.
Okay.
It's really funny. So kiko kiko are known in Maori belief as malevolent ghosts that take possession of living people, making them lose their sanity. And then there's the taniwa, which are guardian monsters that reside in bodies of water, such as rivers or lakes, and can appear as sharks, whales, dragons, or even floating logs. Sound familiar?
Like an ogopogo.
Yeah.
Also a kind of repetitive word.
There's the meiero, which is an evil fairy inhabiting forests in the South Islands of New Zealand, or the Patupairi. I'm not going to get that word. But hilltop living spirits and otherworldly beings that resemble humans. There's the Turihu, which are pale-skinned ghostly people living in woodlands.
Okay.
So that also, and I mean, regional too, right? So it comes very close to the legends from the indigenous Noongar people of southwestern Australia, who maintain that if you whistle at night, you attract the attention of Warawarin, which is just another word for bad spirits. So bad spirits come in basically like every culture.
Yeah.
But Arabic and Turkish culture, they have legends that whistling at night will attract the shaitan, or the devil. And Muslims will tell you that whistling after Maghrib, which is the night prayer, like the one that comes latest, will attract jinn. Dun 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 dun. Funnily enough, I know about jinn. They're neither good or bad. They're just kind of spirits.
Yeah.
That live with us, and some of them can be Muslim, and some of them will not be. And I mean, you never know. So you also don't want to attract the shaitan, right?
Oh, what?
The devil.
Oh yeah, no.
So I found, like, even Polish culture has a saying regarding this. They're like, don't whistle at night. The devil dances on the stove.
Okay. So is he just always dancing on the stove? Or does he dance on the stove because you were whistling at night? And what happens when he dances on the stove?
Well, he's dancing to your whistling.
Okay.
Yeah.
So?
I don't know, but it's the devil. He's a bad guy. This superstition isn't even, like, unique to other cultures around the world, but it even has, like, a kind of anchor in Aboriginal Canadians, which I found, like, a lot of them have small things.
Yeah?
Yeah, so the Okanagan First Nations and many others, this is kind of across a lot of different bands.
Yep.
They believe that whistling at night will summon, and I'm sorry, there's no better word for this, stick Indians. So
what are they?
So the Salish tribes say that stick Indians kind of resemble our idea of Bigfoot. They're like huge and furry. The Nez Perces,
Your guess is as good as mine.
I'm sorry, guys. It was a lot of words that I haven't heard before, but the Nez Perces call them little people. So they're like dwarfs.
So they're like tiny Bigfoots?
Yeah.
Aww.
So the Stikinians are seldom seen and almost completely nocturnal, and it is said that their language does not mimic human speech, but sounds like birds or other animals, and they hunted and fished to feed themselves, and they don't have any permanent settlements, and they were clothed with deer skins or other fixings from the forests.
And they're fuzzy wuzzy.
Yeah, and they got their name Stick Indians because they dwell in the forest and share many traits with the animals of the forest rather than typical tribes. Other inspirations for the name is believed to come from their puckish habit of thrusting sticks into teepees, lodges, and individuals while they slept.
Oh.
Don't whistle at night or you might get stabbed with a stick. So the Inuit also believe that if you whistle at the northern lights, it risks calling down spirits from the aurora.
From the aurora.
Yeah. And I found a poem.
Oh. I'm just, now all I can think of is Aurora Borealis in the kitchen. Can I see?
Yeah.
No.
I've seen Aurora Borealis in Yellowknife and in its like most beautiful, huge, and it whistles. It literally like, the sky is dancing with white and it kind of whistles at you. So if you whistle back at it, it calls down spirits, so don't do that.
It's just, it's challenging you. It's trying to tempt you. Tempt you with the whistling.
Yeah.
Colin says that I can't whistle.
Is that true?
I think it's whistling, but he's like, no, it's hissing.
Can I hear it?
No.
Fine.
You can hear it tomorrow.
Okay. After a day. So the poem is entitled Labrador in Winter, and it's written by Canadian poet Kate Tuttle. The Inuit say don't whistle when the northern lights are high, lest they swoop to earth and carry you up to the luminescent sky.
Ooh. So you go flying.
Yeah. Woo. And maybe they drop you.
Maybe. And that's why you don't whistle.
Yeah. So the Dene tribes, that's who I would have like hung out with in Yellowknife, actually. They have a similar wild man tradition, and according to many missionaries and fur traders who spent time with them in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, say they were terrified of nocturnal whistling. And I have a quote from Hudson's Bay Company trader B.R. Ross from 1879. So he writes on the Dene people.
Do you want me to read it, or do you want to?
You can read it.
Okay.
I believe it's this one.
Okay. So he's British, I would assume, and he's going to be a bit stuck up. A strange footprint, or an unusual sound in the forest, is quite sufficient to cause great excitement in the camp. At Fort Resolution, I have, on several occasions, caused all the natives encamped around the to flock for protection into the fort during the night simply by whistling, hidden in the bushes.
Yeah. Like the Kootenai tribe of southeastern British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my last culture here. So I thought it'd be appropriate to end with BC because...
BC. Well, do we want to say it now? I mean, that's how we end it. Or no, it's Stay Creepy. Never mind.
Yeah.
BC is creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So according to this Kootenai woman who was interviewed on December 11th, 1997, and you can read this, Ariel. Okay.
Even today, you will hear people that are my mother's age from the reserve say, you don't whistle at night. Okay, that's taboo. They don't tell you why lots of times, but it's don't whistle at night. The bad spirits will get you. Something will get you. But if you take that back not so many generations, if you were out in the dark and your enemy's around, if you're whistling, they know you're there. And there you go. It was all designed as stories to tell children so they could comprehend. Okay, don't whistle because something bad will happen to me. But the parents didn't go on to say, otherwise the Blackfeet are going to get you in the middle of the night or something. They're going to know where you are and get you. It's kind of a way of telling a fairy story, but with a practical purpose of protecting your children. That's like a lot of, like, superstitions. Like, things that come out of the water to kill you. Don't hang out by yourself by the water, small child. You will drown. Like,
so it makes sense why this particular legend was so prevalent across different cultures. Because, well, us nowadays, we live in the city, and nighttime is loud, right? Yep. You walk around, you can whistle however you want, and...
I mean, you guys can hear the traffic sometimes in the background of our episodes.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon you won't.
Yeah, but think back to, like, the 1800s, where the only people who were awake were people burning a candle and predators. So if you're out alone in the night where you can't see who's out there, what's out there, and you're whistling, making noise. And whistling is probably something we do that carries the furthest.
I know that, well, because of, I think, how sound waves work, lower frequency sounds carry farther than high frequency sounds, but so, whistling's kind of higher frequency, yeah. I think.
Across the world, whistling just makes you more vulnerable to predators. But I want to end by arguing that predators not necessarily be of this world.
I was just going to say that the reason as well why whistling at night would be a bad thing is because there aren't really birds chirping at night. So, like, other people could tell, oh, that's a person. Time to stab, stab, kill.
Yeah. People. Snakes. Probably, like, wildcats. Coyotes. Any number of dark spirits. The devil. They could all... They know where you are now.
Right? Yeah.
So, don't whistle at night. It makes you more susceptible to predators.
Of any kind.
Yeah. Including giant birds.
Or just really bad people.
So I had several sources.
Okay.
Several sources, because there's, like, so many cool things in this. But
okay.
The first source I had that really, like, led me on to this is mysteriesofcanada.com. And then I got a lot of the native ones from astonishinglegends.com. Wikipedia was really good for if I found the name of the spirits that we would encounter, I could go up and look at more facts about them.
Yeah.
So there's MexicoUnexplained.com,
okay, which
taught me about the Lechuza. Reddit, but...
It's Reddit.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
But it had a lot of, like, just a lot of personal stories. So I would definitely suggest going up on Reddit just to hear people talk about, like, what their grandparents would say. There was one about the Japanese legends called sunagujapan.com. I mean, that's going to be hard to find. But if you just search whistling at night and the Japanese legend,
you'll get the result.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my topic today.
Your spoopy topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you guys have any stories about your encounters with whistling at night, feel free to email them to us, badcookiepictures@gmail.com. Maybe we'll read it on the next episode. Who knows?
I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to hear about somebody who whistles at the Northern Lights and gets picked up and then dropped.
That might be a bit hard because they'd probably be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on where they fell.
Well, it depends on how high they fell from.
Yeah.
From a certain height, it doesn't matter where you fall.
So if you want to try whistling at the Northern Lights, it's a pretty good season for it.
I mean, that's of course also if it's even real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know if there's anything else for us to be talking about today. I mean, I can say that a script of ours has been accepted into a screenwriting competition to be judged.
Yeah.
At the Badass Film Festival.
One of our favorite festivals.
Yeah, actually. So it's one that I wrote, and keeping my fingers crossed that it'll do well.
Yeah.
Anything else we can talk about?
Not quite yet.
No.
I think.
This weekend something will come out on the Bad Cookie YouTube channel, so be sure to subscribe ahead of time to make sure you'll see it. If you want to support us, you can become a patron by looking up Bad Cookie Pictures on Patreon. We are currently saving up for some slightly better audio equipment, so that's what your current contributions would be going towards, and they also still go towards keeping us alive online. Other ways that you can support us is if you share this podcast with your friends and family, anyone who you think might enjoy hearing about how creepy BC is. You can rate us and review us on whatever you're listening to it on.
Yeah, and just interacting with us. We're available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of the social medias.
Yep. So that's really the easiest way to support us would just be following us on social media and rating and everything. And if you want to find Topher on social media, how can they find you?
Sneezing Wolf. I'm on Instagram.
And I'm at Hanson's Horror on all of those things. And yeah.
And really the best thing you can do?
Stay creepy. Getting punched again.